Yesterday, Saraji explained that by being mindful of the bodily actions at the moment they arise, noting them with effort, sustained mindfulness, the mind falls calm, collected on the object, and one discerns the unique individual characteristics. And after discerning the unique individual characteristic, from then on, one also comes to discern the common characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. And one understands that there is no self. And it is very good to discern these characteristics based on the object that the person is able to note effectively. One comes to discern the impermanence, and the wrong view of permanence does not arise. And based on these bodily actions that the person is mindful of, one discerns them as suffering, and thus wrong view of good and pleasant does not arise. By being mindful of these bodily actions, one discerns them as anatta, one discerns them that there is no self involved, and one removes the wrong view of atta. In this way, the wrong view of atta does not arise. And as the person continues the practice, the person discerns cause and effect. Without discerning cause and effect, there is wrong view that it is the Brahma that is creating the world. But discerning that relevant cause gives rise to relevant effect, the wrong view of creator is also removed. And one comes to discern that these are loathsome, and one discerns them correctly. And when knowledge arises, not knowing, knowing wrongly, is dispelled. The wrong knowing of permanent good self is removed when one discerns correctly. In this way, not knowing and knowing wrongly are removed. Based on the object that the person is able to note, the wrong view of permanent good and self is removed. Only if one has wrong view as permanent good and self, there will be craving. But as the person removes the wrong view of permanent good and self by noting the object effectively, knowing that it is impermanent suffering and non-self, tanha, craving, does not have chance to arise. So one removes lobha, greed. Based on the desirable objects, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, if the person does not discern them correctly, there is wrong view of permanent, good, self, beautiful. But by being mindful, discerning them correctly as impermanent suffering and non-self, the tanha, craving, does not have chance to arise. And if one comes across undesirable objects, and if one does not note them, not discerning them, there is anger, hatred, aversion. But by being mindful of these bodily actions, discerning them correctly, one will not have this anger, aversion, hatred on these objects. And also, knowing wrongly, not knowing and knowing wrongly, is also removed. If one does not discern, there is craving. And if one discerns, craving is also removed. Lobha, greed, dosa, anger also are removed. So in this way, the unwholesome roots, lobha, dosa, and moha, greed, anger, delusion, have no chance to arise. So these are the benefits of satipatthana practice. One should not think that the benefit of satipatthana practice is few, because through the practice of satipatthana meditation, one removes the avijja, tanha, and upadana, ignorance, craving, and clinging, which gives the most trouble. By removing avijja, tanha, and upadana, which gives the most trouble, by removing them, one automatically removes the other unwholesome factors such as ichha, maccariya, and mana. Envy, stinginess, conceit are also automatically removed. One does not have to deliberately remove them, but they are automatically removed. So this is the benefit one gets by being mindful of the nama rupa that are arising at the present moment. As one discerns the rupa materiality correctly, the lobha, greed, dosa, anger, aversion, hatred have no chance to arise. So in order to remove these defilements, one should observe the object, discerning them correctly, and there will be anupassana. And there will be dadanga pahana. One will remove these defilements momentarily. In order to remove these defilements, one observes the object every time these bodily actions arises, so that one discerns them. And through the vipassana knowledge, the defilements have no chance to arise. So here, tatanga means that with the factor of insight knowledge, the factor of these defilements that can arise by lack of mindfulness will have no chance to arise. By cultivating vipassana, by having this vipassana, the defilements that can arise are removed momentarily, moment by moment. So the moment that one cultivates vipassana, for that moment, one is removing the defilements. In this way, when these moments of being mindful, discerning them continuously, then the defilements have no chance to arise. And one's mind will be pure, clean, continuously. So the mind is developed, cultivated, and increased. Atano santana chaitan janeti abhinepadetiti bhavana, meaning that whatever the object arises, whether it is the bodily actions or vedana, feelings and sensations, or citta, thoughts, imagination, or other general activities, whatever the object is, by noting these objects, the defilements, lobha, dosa, moha, greed, anger, delusion are removed, and the person and the mind will have alobha, adosa, amoha, none greed, none anger, none delusion. So in this way, the mind is pure and clean. Janeti nepadeti, meaning one initiates the wholesome mind, one develops and cultivate the wholesome mind. Initiating, developing, cultivating, increasing the wholesome mind is called bhavana. And in the mind, in this wholesome mind, there is viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration involved. And knowledge is also involved. The mind and the knowledge is cultivated and increased, and it is called bhavana. Tathanga bahana, removing of the defilements momentarily, is also called as tathanga vinaya. By being mindful of the bodily action with sustained mindfulness, keeping the mind calm, collected on the object, the defilements are removed. So when the noting mind falls calm, collected on the object, the defilements are away, and there will be the tathanga vinaya, meaning that with the portion of vipassana citta, the portion of unwholesomeness are removed, and these unwholesomeness have no chance to arise. Saraji gives an example of medicine. Medicine has the potency to cure the illness as well as to generate the new materiality in the body. So one has to take the medicine according to the course, like 3 times a day or whatever the course is. But if the patient just take it, not completing the course, then the medicine that he or she is taking cannot cure the illness, and the person become immune to the medicine, that the medicine will not work, or the medicine will no longer work on that patient as he or she gets immune to it. In the same way, yogi needs to be mindful of every arising object. But if the yogi practices for some time, then stop in between, gazing, resting, not practicing diligently, practicing superficially, in a flippant way, then yogi will also become chronic. So just as when a patient does not take the medicine according to the course, the person get immune to the medicine no longer works on him or her, the patient become chronic patient. In the same way, when the yogi practices for some time, stop and rest in between again and again, his or her practice will not be persistent, and such kind of yogi can become a chronic yogi. And Saraji sees that there are some of the yogis here who are to become chronic yogi, just like a chronic patient. So if a person become a chronic yogi, it will take time practicing without making progress in the practice. So it is very important to be mindful every single second. By being mindful, the pure, clean mind will dispel the defilements. So just as medicine had to be taken according to the course, in the same way, yogi has to practice according to the course to remove the defilement illness. So one should be mindful every single second, committing both the mind and the body in the practice. And during the practice, there are strict rules. So in the beginning, yogi might find it difficult to follow the strict rules. The meditation teachers are also strict. For a person who likes to stay in an easygoing way, will think that it is suffering to be following the strict rules. And they might have excuses that strict rules are not necessary. So especially people who like to let their mind go free, people who like to be free, usually say that kind of thing. Practicing Satipatthana meditation is a high-class practice to cultivate the mind. And it also uplifts the person so that his or her life will not be inferior or degraded. Satipatthana practice uplifts the person so that the person will be high and noble. And through the practice of Satipatthana, the person's body, speech, and mind will become pure, clean, gentle, lovable, and he or she will be morally uplifted. His or her quality of life will also be uplifted, and his or her life will become beautiful. Dhamma can create such kind of a standard, and Dhamma is the definite guidance and instruction in order to bring benefit. So in order to practice the Dhamma so as to gain these benefits, there needs to be discipline. Discipline is called Vinaya. So in order to uplift one's life, one needs to practice the Dhamma, and in the practice of Dhamma, there needs to be discipline. So one needs to follow the discipline in the Dhamma practice. And if the person is practicing flippantly in an easygoing manner, such person has given up the worldly pleasure to come to this retreat. And during the retreat, if the person is practicing and in an easygoing manner, the person also loses the Dhamma happiness. So in this way, practicing in an easygoing manner flippantly, the person loses both the worldly happiness as well as the Dhamma happiness. Practicing the Dhamma, according to the teaching of the Buddha, there also needs to be discipline. So this discipline is said because it is necessary. In order to remove the defilements momentarily, one should be mindful of these bodily actions without missing, without failing. Discerning them as impermanent, suffering, and non-self. Every time one discerns, there is sati, mindfulness, samadhi, concentration, and panya, knowledge. So these viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, make up samadhikanda, the concentration group. Viriya, effort, does not accept the defilements. And sati, mindfulness, protects the mind so that the defilements cannot enter the mind. And samadhi, concentration, keep the mind calm, collected on the object. Having samadhikanda, concentration group, the defilements cannot arise. The defilements that can arise by lack of viriya, sati, samadhi will no longer have chance to arise having the samadhikanda, concentration group. Samadhi can calm and suppress the opposite mental states. Pachanika dhamme sametiti samatho, meaning that the samatha or samadhi concentration calms and suppresses the opposite mental states. The defilements that can arise when one is lazy will be calmed and suppressed by samadhi concentration. Every time when one is mindful, viriya, sati, samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration are involved, and they are becoming stronger and stronger by noting the object continuously. Because of the momentum of samatha, the concentration, the mind become gentle, and the mind become gentle, and the more one is mindful, the more the gentle the mind will become. And also on the objects that the person is not noting, the defilements does not arise based on the objects that the person is not noting. Due to the momentum of samatha or samadhi, also in the time that the yogi is resting, but the gross defilements does not arise. So the defilements are suppressed due to the momentum of samadhi. So priyotana kilesa, obsessive defilements, do not arise. Having viriya, sati, and samadhi, having effort, mindfulness, and concentration, the defilements are prevented from arising every single second. And even if the defilement arises, one will notice it right away, that one will be mindful of it and it will be dispelled quickly. So in this way, due to the momentum of samadhi, even at the moment the person is not noting, the defilements are calm and suppressed due to the momentum of samadhi. As the concentration gains momentum, the gross kind of defilements do not have chance to arise. So they are getting weaker and weaker. The defilements are getting more and more distant. The defilements are calmed and suppressed. In order to understand this through one's practice, one should practice diligently. And the yogi who practices respectfully, diligently, will improve the practice even within 1 week. Due to the momentum of samadhi, the defilements do not enter based on the objects that the yogi is not noting. So there are the nama rupa arising at the same time. One can only note one of them at a time. And one is mindful one at a time, and there are others that the person cannot note. And also on these objects that the person cannot note, also on these many things that the person cannot note, the defilements do not arise on these objects. In this way, by being mindful of part of the object, or by being mindful of one of these objects, the defilements are calm and suppressed, that the defilements do not arise based on the object that the person is not mindful of. By being mindful, the defilements are becoming more and more distant, and it is called vikambana bahana, or in other words, vikambana vinaya, meaning removing the defilements by distancing the defilements. throughout the round of existences, not knowing the correct method of Satipatthana practice, people let their mind go freely and they commit dukkha-citta, evil conducts, the kaya dukkha-citta, bodily evil conducts, and then the vachi dukkha-citta, the verbal misconducts, and mano dukkha-citta, the mental misconduct, letting their mind go free on sensual objects without any control. And they also cling on to wrong view of permanent good and self, clinging on to wrong view of jiva atta, individual soul, brahma atta, supreme soul, having wrong view that things are pleasant. Such kind of wrong view are deeply seated in the person that one cannot eradicate them at once. First, one has to practice Satipatthana meditation or vipassana in order to weaken these defilements and wrong views. Noting the object, having viriya, sati, samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, the obsessive defilements have no chance to arise. And cultivating knowledge through the practice, the defilements are getting weaker and weaker. The defilements that have been weakened through the practice of vipassana will totally be removed by attaining magga and phala jnana, path and fruition knowledge. Realizing the path and fruition knowledge, one removes the defilements and one realizes nibbana, the total cessation. So one has to remove the defilements that have been following throughout the round of existences. One should weaken the defilements through the practice of Satipatthana meditation, having viriya, sati, and samadhi. And finally, the defilements that have been weakened through the practice of Satipatthana will totally be removed by attaining path and fruition knowledge. The example is given of a boxing match. In a boxing match, there are two players, and the player has to give powerful blow to the opponent. Just as one has to take the opportunity to give the opponent a powerful blow, at the same time, the person has to avoid the blow from the opponent. By giving the opponent a powerful blow, the opponent will get weak, and by giving him a second blow, the opponent will get weaker, and by giving a third blow, the opponent will get even weaker. In this way, the more powerful blow, the more number of powerful blow the player gives to the opponent is getting weaker and weaker. And the blows coming from the opponent will also be weak. And finally, giving him a final blow to knock him out, the person, the player, becomes a winner. So this example is given to explain that one has to weaken the defilements that have been following throughout the round of existences. So in order to weaken and uproot these defilements, one should be mindful every single second. If one misses to be mindful, if one fails to be mindful, the person will get a blow from the defilement. So one has to be always mindful every single second, having viriya, sati, samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration to avoid the blow of the defilement, and at the same time, to take the opportunity to give powerful blow to the defilement so that the defilements are getting weaker and weaker. In this way, while you have the chance to practice Vipassana meditation, one has to practice continuously so as to weaken the defilements. So Sharaji explains the difference between the Dadanga Vinaya, removing the defilement momentarily, and Vikambana Vinaya, removing the defilements by distancing them. The defilements being calm and suppressed based on the object that the person can note efficiently, effectively, is called the Dadanga Vinaya, removing the defilement, calming the defilement momentarily. The defilement that has been suppressed based on the object that the person is not noting is Vikambana Vinaya, removing the defilement by distancing them. So every time one is mindful, one gets these two benefits. So just like in the example, just as the player, boxing player, has to give powerful blow to the opponent, in the same way, one has to note the object so that the defilement will get weaker by moment by moment. And when the opponent gets weaker and weaker, the opponent cannot give powerful blow. In the same way, the defilements will get weaker and weaker by being mindful every single second. By being mindful every single second, one is giving powerful blow to the defilement, so that defilement getting weaker and weaker, that the gross kind of defilement does not have chance to arise. So these are the benefits of practicing. In order to get these two benefits, one should be mindful of every bodily action at the moment they arise to cultivate kaya nupassana. So Saraji explained the kaya nupassana. The same goes with the vedana nupassana, citta nupassana, and dhamma nupassana. One should be mindful of the unpleasant sensations that arise in the body and the mind, as well as the pleasant sensations that arise in the mind and the body. And one should be mindful of thoughts, imaginations. One should be mindful of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So these objects are also to be noted. Saraji explains how the commentary described. The commentary say that one should discern the asubha, loathsomeness, in the kaya, body, and one should discern dukkha, suffering, in the feelings and sensations. One should discern anicca, impermanent, in thoughts, imaginations. And one should discern anatta, non-self, in the general objects. Discerning that there is no jiva atta, individual soul, no brahma atta, supreme soul. But actually, based on all four objects, kaya, vedana, citta, dhamma, the body, feeling, sensations, thought, imaginations, and general objects, on these four objects, one should discern anicca, dukkha, anatta, and asubha, impermanent, suffering, non-self, and loathsomeness. So today, Saraji explained what is mentioned in Saripatthana Uddesa, and tomorrow also, Saraji will explain how one should be mindful. This will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu.